Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, earlier this week, while the world watched Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro enter a plea in a New York court, the reporter we'd usually find in the thick of it was here in Dublin. Dubliner Molly Crane Newman, courts reporter with the New York Daily News, spends her days in Manhattan's most famous courts, and she has certainly seen it all. Before coming on air, we began by discussing that Nicolas Maduro case and on whether she was missing being there to cover it.
Yes, I think FOMO is exactly how I would describe it. Even when I saw the news that Maduro had been captured, I didn't even need to read further to know that it would probably be the Southern District of New York, the court that I cover, where that indictment would be filed.
Yeah, why that actually? Why do so many of those huge cases end up there?
In this case specifically, you know, Maduro's indictment, he was first charged in 2020 by that office, and that case stemmed from a prosecution in 2011. The judge who's on the case, he has been presiding over this litigation or related litigation since 2014. So that office was kind of point guard, if you will, on the investigation into drug smuggling in Venezuela and into Maduro. At the same time, the Southern District of New York kind of notoriously, takes on these really big press cases. They're kind of known colloquially as the Sheriff of Wall Street. You know, they're right in Manhattan. But they had been investigating Maduro for several years and had indicted him and several of his associates in the last decade.
So you did actually the work on this remotely from here?
I did, yes. So I had a colleague who was filling in for me in person, and he was there in the courtroom, and he was filing notes to me while I was at home here, writing up the story from Kilmacud.
Right. And that's it. You are from Kilmacud. So tell me, how does a girl from Kilmacud in South County Dublin end up covering some of the most high profile legal battles in America?
Well, so I moved over to the States in 2014.
Had you been working in journalism here at that stage?
I had been. I studied journalism here. I studied journalism in Rathmines College in town.
As did I.
There you go. So I had studied journalism in Rathmines. I went over to New York in 2014 with a friend who I was in school with in New Park. I had a couple of internships, kind of somewhat media related. And I was about 4 or 5 months in. Of course, you know, I was working waitressing on the side. A friend of mine, one of the bartenders, a wonderful woman from Meath, who introduced me to some editors from the Daily News, whose newsroom was across the street.
And that was literally it? You got into the newsroom that way?
Via an internship. So they kind of took a chance on me. I started an internship and it was 3 months. And, you know, as they said to me on day one, this is not a hand-holding internship. You know, they throw you right in the deep end. You know, on day one, I was out doing door knocks and chasing the mayor and the governor and really all manner of stories you can imagine. And then out of the internship, they hired me as a breaking news reporter. For the first 4 years, I was covering breaking news. So every morning I would get my assignment. Sometimes I would be helping the court reporters, the beat reporters in the courts. And I really loved courts coverage. And
did you know that right away?
I did. Yeah. I did. And I even remember in Rathmines, you know, when we took the trip out to the four courts and we spoke with journalists there, I really, you know, the stakes are so high and nowhere do you really kind of see power on display like you do in a courtroom. So in the US and in New York City, of course, you know, you have these larger than life figures and bombastic defense attorneys and prosecutors. And especially in Manhattan, the two offices that I cover, you know, have historically been very competitive with one another and have undertaken so many major investigations. And also just everyday cases of it involving everyday New Yorkers have always, it's fascinating just to be there covering it.
Your first big case, oh God, it was a massive one. Harvey Weinstein.
I was quite fortunate in some ways, my progression from breaking news to courts coverage, because a lot of the stories that I'd covered from the scene on breaking news were kind of making their way to trial by the time I was promoted to courts coverage. So my editor had me outside his offices in Tribeca, you know, when the expose in the New Yorker and the New York Times ran and sort of supercharging the Me Too movement. And then by the time I was coming on to courts, it was about a month later that he went on trial.
I'm looking here at some of the other trials you have covered. You got the front seat to the Trump trials, El Chapo, as we say, the Weinstein, and most recently, that massive trial, Sean Diddy Combs. Which one of those would you say made the biggest impact on you?
I think it was Trump's civil fraud trial. So this was the case that the New York Attorney General brought against his real estate empire. And it went on trial in late 2023 through the start of 2024. The access we had to him was kind of remarkable. You know, we'd be coming outside the courtroom and talking to him in the hallway like a regular defendant. Now, you know, of course, there was a lot of security, but that courthouse is a lot quieter than the others. And this was a 3-month trial. He was found liable on a number of claims before it even got going, based on undisputed evidence. So to a lot of us, it kind of looked like we were kind of witnessing the end of the Trump era or Trump's downfall. And of course, we all know that was
that was premature, shall we say.
It was.
And when you say that, like when the principals in a court case are out in the corridor, there's been either the jury's gone out or come back, or there's been a big moment in the trial. And we've seen this and play out in all these big cases, and all there's a massive media scrum and there's people shouting questions. We were watching one of these at home the other day, and my daughter says, why do they bother shouting? They're not going to answer. And I'm like, because there is a theatre to all of that, isn't there?
Oh yeah. Even Maduro's extradition to New York, and when he was brought, you know, via the MDC recently down to his court appearance, you know, I kind of had to laugh. That's about a 30-second helicopter ride, you know, and a very short drive. And of course, you know, the photographers are always tipped off. And, you know, the law enforcement, of course, would say it's all security precautions. But there's a lot of theatre involved. Yeah. You know, the kind of huge press conferences outside the courthouses, and increasingly not only Trump, you know, there's Luigi Mangione. He's the alleged killer of the United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson. There's been a lot of these huge press cases in recent years, and the courts have had to kind of adapt as well to that. And we've seen it's not such an unusual sight to rock up to court in the morning, and there's barriers for blocks and blocks and blocks around the courthouse. And especially with Maduro's recent appearance, I know there were hundreds of people outside.
You mentioned Trump there, of course. The pressure and the influence he's putting on the judicial system in the States, and there's this issue he's always had with New York being a Democrat city, and like, can you really feel that and see that?
Very much so. And from kind of two different vantage points in recent years, both Trump, the ordinary citizen, when he was facing charges. I mean, I learned so much about the law covering him because, you know, he kind of famously has this army of lawyers who throw everything at the wall. I mean, in the lead up to his criminal trial, every single day there were emergency motions trying to get the trial delayed. You know, we were up in the appeals court, and there was one day the appeals court didn't even have a venue to hear his arguments. So they had to sort of set up a makeshift courtroom in the basement with, you know, the kind of pretend bench where the judge was sitting. And we had kind of arranged our chairs as though it was a courtroom gallery. Nearly all of the judges, except for the federal cases, you know, they had faced death threats during these trials. The judge on his criminal trial, his daughter had to, you know, move out of her home for a while because of all of the threats that she was receiving. And it was kind of remarkable to see these judges trying to treat him like any other defendant. And there was a number of violations of gag orders that were in place, and kind of, if it had been any other defendant, I kind of know how that would have gone for them. But he was in this place where it wasn't clear whether he would be reelected. And, you know, his sentencing in the criminal case was 10 days before his second return to power. And the judge sort of said, you know, Donald Trump, the ordinary citizen, would not receive these kinds of protections, but it's the office of the president and we must respect that. The other angle is now he is, you know, the commander in chief. He appoints the head of the Justice Department. You know, some of the top people at the Justice Department were his personal lawyers in those cases. So my colleagues and I in the press room have gone from covering them as defense attorneys to now some of the most powerful official law enforcement officials in the country. The Southern District of New York, the federal courthouse where the prosecutor's office where Maduro has been indicted, that has historically been known to be independent, an independent DOJ kind of satellite office. It has this nickname. Previous administrations have often left whoever's heading the office in place because of the sensitivity and the significance of some of the investigations they take on. the prosecutor who was in charge just before Trump came in, Damian Williams, his focus was on public corruption. He brought this major case against the sitting mayor of New York City, who has just left office after Trump won the election. Within, I think it was within days, he announced that he would be installing his own chief in there, Jay Clayton, his former chief of the Securities and Exchange Commission. And the case against the mayor was dropped, and it was later learned and, you know, addressed openly in court that that was the result of a deal that was sort of brokered between Trump's top guys at the Justice Department and Adams to let the Trump administration carry out his mass deportation agenda in New York City if they would agree to drop this public corruption case. So it's been kind of remarkable seeing the tide turn. Just last year, Trump's Department of Justice brought charges against Letitia James. You'd kind of get whiplash trying to fit it all in and to constantly be considering the different the impact of it all.
Does Trump being in the White House change how you report what's coming out of the court?
On the federal side, yes, a little bit, because I'm cognizant that, you know, my predecessors, and if I had been in this beat years ago, there'd be a lot more focus just on the cases themselves and the trials. And while that is still very much a part of my day to day, you know, there's been revolt within this office about some of the directives that are coming from the top down. A lot of it has become very politicized, even with this Epstein files saga that's ongoing. That office has been asked to kind of go through, you know, what are we've now learned are millions of files. My kind of niche courts beat has now been crossing over with politics so much in recent years, both from the cases against him and his return to power, and also now the power that he has over those policy decisions.
Finally, is this where your future lies? You're on your way back there this weekend.
Dublin is home, and Dublin will always be home, and New York City is my home away from home. And my intention is to be back here someday, but I know that I will. New York will always be a part of my life, and Dublin will always be a part of my life. And whether I'm based in one or the other, I think I'm going to be flying over the Atlantic probably for the rest of my days.
Molly Quinn Newman, court reporter with the New York Daily News. Many thanks.
Thank you so much.